Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your hosts, Bell Star
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, and tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors today are Accurate Med Testing, Growers House, and Mary Jane Survival Guide.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with certifications, you will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things education related to medical cannabis. Visit Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, or tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. I love that timing of the, I have to switch programs to time the other intro. Kind of fun. I did go to school for engineering sound, so long ago. Woo, I know, the many tools of Bell. Good morning, folks. Cannabis Kid is sick. He's not joining us today. Yeah, we're really sad. Yeah, we don't like when he's sick. And get well. Vaporize your cannabis all day. There's our recipe for health.
There you go.
There it is. Nurse Mary D says, vape it up for good health. So what's today? January 15th, can you believe it? I can't believe it. We're already halfway through the first month of the new year.
I know.
Done. Bam. Hope you guys are working on your taxes and getting that stuff done.
Don't talk
about it. Put the bong down for a second.
Think about it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. We have an awesome show this morning. We're very excited. This state has been in the news recently. All over the place. We have the New York Cannabis Alliance on this morning. Adam is joining us, and he's going to tell us all about what's happening in New York. Yeah, this guy is really smart. We're really excited to talk to him. So we're going to chat with him in just a few minutes and get him on the line here. We'll wait for that. And if you want to call in, you can call. Tell your friends, text them, and tell them to call 646-915-8421 if they're not near a computer. If they are, they can go to blogtalkradio.com. Actually, better yet, go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Yeah, it's easier. Go to the radio link and just click the picture. It'll take you right there, and you can listen in live with all our international chatters out there. Super fun. So we're going to talk to New York today. Lots going on in the news. We've got a really good New Culture magazine.
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, Tumbleweeds Health Center is going to be in Culture in the next issue. Yeah, very excited about that. Yeah, it's a great magazine.
I see it in all the
And what's her name is, Avril Lavigne is on the front of the cover this time.
She's
very
beautiful.
Interesting girl. Yeah, she is. Her eyeliner is, looks like my dog Walter's a little heavy. Sorry, Avril, I don't know, it's kind of footballish, you know.
She's young.
I know, football. Woo-hoo, she is young. So let's see, what is going on? You know what, we went to the Arizona for Normal meeting last weekend, and that was really great. I have not been able to go for a long time because been busy.
But they do good work.
They do wonderful work. John and everyone down there, they just held new votes for the new position.
Leadership positions
down there. So they got a new vice president, a new treasurer, a new secretary, media, events coordinator, all that kind of good stuff. If you guys want to get involved, AZ4Normal, drop the A at the end, .org. And check it out. Go to the meetings. They're very informative. You can meet a lot of people from the community there. There is a gentleman that is joining LEAP, a former police officer.
Interesting person.
Yeah, very interesting person. They had dispensary representatives, dispensary owners were down there.
It was nice to see a mixture of people interested in marijuana and cannabis.
Yeah, from patients to, you know, organizations to dispensaries. It was really great to hear everybody talk, and they, John Gettle, the president, was asking people about their opinions on the dispensaries out there, and for the most part, I think people like them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're happy with them. They were talking about the prepackaged goods. They're not so satisfied with that. They don't really understand that process, though, because usually when you know, back in the day, you could, well, I don't know.
It's a different
world. Look at your stuff before you got it. And prepackaged is kind of an interesting way to do things. It's more commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people using cannabis are used to the big commercial industries yet. There's a lot going on out there commercially.
Like going to the farm.
A lot. Yeah. In fact, there's a news article about how legal marijuana could be the next great American industry. As legalized marijuana sales take off in Colorado, here's what a pot business model and mature marketplace just might look like. 20 states, 22, and the District of Columbia allow medical marijuana, and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced a medical marijuana plan in his state of the speech last week. But voters in Colorado and Washington State went a step further in 2012, becoming the first in the nation to legalize small plant amounts for adult recreational use and to regulate it like alcohol. Colorado sales began on New Year's Day, and marijuana retailers are scheduled to open in Washington State later this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the interesting part of this that we're not used to yet. Marijuana retailers, like,
yeah,
it's
like
big business. It is business. It's big, big business. But it's a different mind concept for those that usually use marijuana, cannabis, pot.
But there's so many people that are knowledgeable in business that are on board with the magic of this medication.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. More and more doctors, more and more really great organizations are getting involved.
I'm seeing it all around. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Amid this historic backdrop, the small merchant-focused pot industry is growing alongside forerunners to national, potentially public cannabis companies. The legal marijuana sector could unfold and function like the beer industry, with small batch varieties nabbing market share amid larger brands.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Niche market.
Farmers market. For now, mass cannabis production and scalable business models aren't as vigorous as they could be because marijuana remains illegal under federal law. Banks and credit card companies are prohibited from processing pot business transactions according to federal rules. But working with state guidelines, scrappy entrepreneurs are moving forward with ambitious cannabis business strategies. They see potential for big sales and profits, especially if more mid-sized businesses can transition to large national brands.
Exactly. The American way?
Yeah, exactly. If you want it, go get it. It's yours, right?
If you work for it.
Well, that's not the American way. Work
the
for
American
it.
Dream.
Come on.
Quit.
Yes. But you should work for it. You should work hard for it. We do. Wealthy individual investors already are tapping private equity firms for a bite of the potentially lucrative marijuana business.
Mm-hmm.
Our investors are from the far left and the far right, said Brendan Kennedy, chief executive of Private Holdings, a cannabis private equity firm. There's old money and new money. You put them in a room and they wouldn't agree on anything else but this issue, Kennedy said. Seattle-based privateer also acquired Leafly.com, which offers online reviews of cannabis strains and dispensaries.
Right. Yeah.
Forget the gold rush. It's a billion-dollar green rush.
Billion.
Yeah. We're going trillion.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys are like
trillion. Oh, it's going to be trillion very soon.
It probably already is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm hoping that with that we have Adam on the line here. And
awesome.
We'll talk to Adam about New York's possible green rush because, holy Toledo, it is just that. So let's see if we have the New York Cannabis Alliance and Adam on the line.
Morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Is this Adam?
This is Adam. Hi, sorry about that. I didn't realize I had to call in.
Oh, that's okay.
I just got here.
Now we got you. Sorry about that. I know. Maybe Bellstar needs to rewrite her. What happens on the radio show day? How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing swell over here. And where exactly are you calling from?
From New York City, from Manhattan.
Wow, fancy Manhattan. All right.
Cold?
Is it, yeah, is it cold?
I heard it was cold over the last couple of weeks. I just got back out of Thailand. It's colder than Thailand was, but not that bad.
And what was going on in Thailand?
I was on my honeymoon.
Oh, congratulations. Yay.
Thank you. we got married in August and put it off till the new year so my wife would have some vacation days and it all worked out.
Well,
so anyway.
Quick question about Thailand. Are they, did you get some herb over there?
I did not. I got a nose full outside of one particular hotel room up in the mountains in the north at about 7 o'clock in the morning one day. I didn't want to deal with the hassle really. So my wife would kill me if I got arrested on our honeymoon. So I just
taking one. Well, yeah, better to be safe than sorry.
Definitely.
Wow, it's so great to have you on our show. We were just looking at your cute little picture here. You are a very educated man. Tell us how you got into cannabis. Why are you a patient yourself? Tell us about New York and the Cannabis Alliance, how you got started. Talk to us.
All right. So... I'm sorry, I've got some feedback on my phone here, but I started getting involved in drug policy in, I don't know, the late 90s, early started getting curious about it. New York was dealing with the Rockefeller drug laws around that time. There was we're a few years into a campaign to repeal those. For those who aren't familiar, they were generally described as draconian drug laws for the state of New York with some first-time drug offenses like sale of 2 ounces of cocaine or something similar to that, yielding prison sentences of mandatory sentences of things like 25 years to life. And it was... you know, it was just obscene, and I was, 18, 19, and, I just got irritated, and I had nothing but some time to think on it, stew on it, and, get mad about it, and, here we are 16 years later. I took that early just irritation with the Rockefeller drug laws, found out about Students for Sensible Drug Policy, started getting involved with that in around 2000. I was active in the Columbia University chapter when I was there. I started a chapter at Brooklyn Law School in 2010 or 2011. Sometime in between undergrad, which I graduated in 2002, and I went to law school in 2010. I was living up in Albany. I was right across the street from the state capitol. My apartment was, and I figured if anybody was going to take, if anybody was well positioned to take on marijuana law reform in New York State, I knew all the angles. I knew the health angle, the public health concerns, I'd spent time in New York City. New York State has a big upstate downstate divide. New York City is a very different demographic and different voting block than upstate. I'd spent time in the city and I grew up upstate, so I knew both sides of the problem. I jumped in where I saw the sticking point, where me and my partner saw the sticking points, which in New York State is the Senate Republicans. They've been holding up medical marijuana for years. My mother was, like locally involved Republican political leader when I was growing up, so. I'm a single issue voter. Democrat, Republican, it's all whatever to me. I knew I could talk to the Republicans who are in, who were our sticking points, I could I thought I was pretty well equipped to take them on and have, you know, just honest honest rational discussions with them about getting this done.
honest rational.
And here we are.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. You mentioned the word rational. A lot of the public opinion is so irrational based on what the media and the government has portrayed this medicinal plant as for, you know, so many years. What kind of organizations are you working with? Well, tell us what the Cannabis New York Cannabis Alliance does. What do you what do you do as a Cannabis Alliance?
All right, so yeah, in 2010 we started out as New York Patients First was our name back then. We jumped in that legislative session as kind of MPP, Marijuana Policy Project, had a lobbyist in Albany working on the issue. They had for years. Good guy, you know, very very skilled lobbyist. Has you know, he's a professional. But we wanted to bring more attention to patients and you know, really like jumpstart this thing. It was going to take more than one person working on it in New York State. So we you know, we called around, organized some patients we knew, and just started making phone calls in Albany, setting up meetings with legislators. We figured out the way the Albany media works, how to, you know, book rooms for press conferences, and we just started sending out media advisories, press releases, knocking on legislators' doors, setting up meetings with them, and we led the way on medical marijuana. In that session, we got a couple of key Senate votes that had never occurred. We got two committee votes. And we kind of kept the issue alive for the next couple of years, and then Drug Policy Alliance, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in any drug policy room, saw the the writing was kind of on the wall last year when Senator Dianne Savino took the reins on this issue. The former Senate sponsor, Tom Duane, who carried this bill in the Senate for years, retired, and Senator Savino embraced it with a fire about her. So it became a real live political issue, I guess, in the spring of 2012. It really came to life with Gaia Plant-Based Medicine out of Colorado hiring Patricia Lynch Associates, one of the bigger lobbyists in Albany. So now now there's like a lot of attention on the medical angle. Our organization, we changed our name from New York Patients First to New York Cannabis Alliance to reflect our broader agenda. We believe that obviously medical marijuana should be first on the legislative agenda. It should have been done years ago. We're glad to see that Governor Cuomo is finally, embraced this, has finally uttered the words medical marijuana. But our angle now is coordinating with other like-minded groups and laying the groundwork for a couple of years, you know, for the next couple of years, where we want to see a Colorado or Washington-style tax and regulate bill implemented. And that's really where our where we have to shift our resources in the coming in the next couple of years. That discussion needs to be started now while this medical marijuana debate goes on. We have a couple different political issues in New York, and we want to be comprehensive about it. And so we work to get as many organizations as we can on the same page.
What organizations are you working with other than MPP and SSDP? Who else are you working with?
GPA, we work very closely with them. coordinating, making sure everybody's message is heard, and maximizing our success. We work with Empire State Normal. We keep in touch with other organizations who are, various legal groups. I recently graduated law school. I worked at the Public Defender's Office in Brooklyn, Legal Aid Society. They're like people like that are potential allies. I'm not saying we've worked with them or have any big plans to, but we'll talk to anybody. The NAACP, League of Women Voters, anybody that we try to develop a broad base of support, especially among non-traditional allies. People who wouldn't necessarily really even take a second look at marijuana policy as an issue that's relevant to them, and try to see it from our angle that it matters, and it matters pretty much to everybody.
Well, you jumped right in. What are you finding? What are you saying to people that's changing their minds about it? Like, you know, we know MPP's for it, SSDP, they're all for it. What organizations are you approaching that are having a hard time grasping this issue, and how is it that you're changing their minds?
We come at it from from the perspective that the details of regulation matter. And when people hear that you're taking seriously their concerns, whatever they may be, whether it relates to marijuana and driving or marijuana and adolescence, or whatever the concern is, we do our homework to address those concerns. We have reasonable, rational responses. Ready to go when those objections come up. The objections, the concerns, the questions are kind of repeat themselves after a while. You know what to expect. You know what to look for, and it's a process of it's not a one time thing. You don't toss the answer out there, and it sticks the first time. It's about building relationships with these people, especially the legislators who have the final say on this. That's our core demographic, really, is getting their attention. We try to steer our alliance to make sure everybody is acting on the legislators. So they are our core, our core audience. But yeah, we just go to them with a very like well thought out game plans. We give them a variety of options when possible. This is the legislative question. You can answer it this way, that way. You can adopt this policy, that policy, or the other policy. Here are some of the strengths and drawbacks of each. And I think it's generally well received, sometimes it wins support, sometimes, in the form of a yes vote, sometimes it's just well-received with, that answers that objection, but we'll get back to you with another objection as soon as we can come up with one. That's the nature of politics in Albany.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of education going on.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with one of Arizona's senators who's introducing a legalization bill?
I'm sorry, am I familiar with who?
I believe his name is Ruben Gallego, a state senator who's introducing legalization of cannabis in Arizona this session.
Oh, no.
Oh, you haven't heard about him yet. We'll try to get some information to you.
Oh, great. We like to keep in touch with people doing this around the country. We like to transfer information between various legislators in various states. I was recently talking to Diane Russell from Maine, and she was super excited to hear about New York. I was excited to hear about Maine. It's a fun exchange.
So
A lot of states.
Yeah, a lot of states are coming aboard here. What do you want the medical marijuana program to look like over there? Are patients going to be able to grow? Are they going to have to get their meds from dispensaries? Can they go to the 7-Eleven or a hospital? What's it going
to
look
like? So what do I want it to look like, and what I want it to look like and what it will look like are two very different creatures. I think the most robust medical marijuana program is just to tax and regulate marijuana and put in some consumer protection measures and have that be the end of the medical marijuana debate. I think comprehensive reform is called for at this time, and that's my spiel on that. At this point, it seems like New York is going to proceed with some kind of medical marijuana program. Our options are Governor Cuomo's plan, which isn't really an option at all. It's kind of it's a dead on arrival. It's a non-starter. What Governor Cuomo wanted to do was his proposal recently is to revive a law that advocates have been pointing to for a number of years, the Antonio Oliveri medical cannabis research program that the state legislature passed in 1980, which arguably is one of the first medical marijuana laws on the books across the country. The program ran for a while. The details are a little sketchy, but apparently it was a program for a while. They took confiscated marijuana from police that police had had confiscated. The legislation also authorizes marijuana from federal government sources, and it has to be distributed through hospitals. Today, that's not happening with all the compliance forms and attestations that hospitals must make. They must, when they go to get their Medicare reimbursement, Medicaid reimbursement. Just huge ticket items that are, they have to sign an attestation that, an affirmation that their hospital, their healthcare facility is in compliance with all federal laws, the Controlled Substances Act included, and where these are private hospitals or private public partnership kind of things, they don't have any kind of immunity from prosecution. They can't. If they start distributing marijuana, they're committing a federal crime, and their compliance officers would be, absolutely crazy to sign off on an attestation form that says that they're in compliance with all federal laws when they're publicly and very clearly violating federal law. So Cuomo proposed a plan that doesn't have a shot at all of working.
Yeah, it hamstrings the hospital so they can't deliver anything.
Right, yeah. It's dead on arrival. It's a non-starter. They can't do anything. So that leaves the Gottfried-Savino medical marijuana bill, which authorizes, a statewide medical marijuana program. And the way it's written now is, it's not a bad. It would be a decent first step for New York. There would be there's some early limitations on dispensaries and number of cultivation facilities. I think the most recent amendments only allow 10 cultivation facilities for the entire state, which is that's unrealistic to meet the patient demand. It would sabotage the program, but it's nothing that can't be amended again and fixed before the bill is passed.
Will the patients be able to grow in that?
No, not the way it's currently written. Things happen. That's actually been a sticking point in all the. It was an early bone of contention with the Senate Republicans, and this was years ago. So for some reason they buckled that for reasons long forgotten. They drew a line in the sand at the home cultivation provision. Assemblyman Gottfried, who is the original drafter, agreed to take it out, and that's been gone for quite some time. The New York City Bar Association, I know, issued a report. The Drugs and the Law Committee and the Health Committee of the New York City Bar Association drafted a report, full disclosure, I'm a member of the committee, although I don't speak in to represent the committee. The two committees issued a report urging that home cultivation provision be put back in. It makes a big difference to in a state like New York where, okay, we have New York City where there's not going to be a ton of home cultivation just because, you know, you're paying so much money for an apartment for, you know, you're calculating every square inch. You have upstate New York where it's tremendously rural. There's a, you know, huge swaths of land in upstate New York where patients, especially older patients and disabled patients, aren't going to be able to readily get to a dispensary. We need to take the varied geography into account, and then, we have Long Island somewhere in the middle of that, which is, you know, it goes from very crowded and almost urban to pretty close to rural out on the end. If only 10 registered, if only 10, 10 growers are, and only 10 cultivation facilities are licensed in the first year, we're talking, 3-4 years before patients in rural areas are able to get their medicine after maybe a year of rule and regulation drafting. I mean, one we're going to keep pushing to get back in, at least in the first 3 years of the program.
Now, tell me, in your opinion, why do you think the programs are being written so that patients can't grow for themselves, even a very few number of plants? Why do you think
like
that
5
is?
Plants or something.
2 or 3 even. Like, I mean, just enough for personal use. But why do you think programs are people are afraid of this?
So restrictive.
Because you, well, go ahead. I'm going to give you your chance to have your say here.
Yeah. Honestly, when I say the reasons that they drew that line in the sand are like long forgotten, they're at least long forgotten by me. I don't remember what their beef with home gardening was. I mean, like, come on, at the end of the day, you're growing a couple of plants at home in your windowsill or whatever. Put in a closed locked requirement cabinet, locked closet requirement or something like that, and be done with it. I don't know if it was like home invasion robberies or something like that. Which, by the way, you know, the police are in the business of protecting patients. They also shouldn't have to fear crime. I mean, they should, like, the answer to all of these objections is to either legalize it or create a serious medical marijuana program.
Yes,
absolutely.
Definitely. Sounds like you guys are doing great work for that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's amazing what you're doing.
We do what we can. We're trying to expand and, put New York at the forefront of marijuana policy. We discovered in the last year or two that New York was one of the first states to repeal alcohol prohibition as a matter of state law back in 1923, 10 years before the federal experiment in prohibition ended. New York decided, no, we're not going to, devote our police to arresting alcohol distributors. We're not going to devote our courts and prosecutors to prosecuting alcohol distributors. If the federal government wants to pursue, stupid failed policies that have no chance of working, then they're free to continue their experiment. We don't like it, but... And I think we can lead again on this one. This is, New York has from the outside, our legislature looks dysfunctional, and many times it is. But we saw a couple of years ago with the marriage equality vote where 4 Republicans crossed party lines in a nearly evenly divided Senate to pass marriage equality as the first state to do so legislatively. We can, when we want to get our act together, we can get our act together. And we'd like to see a repeat performance on marijuana policy, especially since you know, the public support is strong and growing across the state, as any number of polls have shown over the years.
Oh, I think you will. More
people. So, do you see it bipartisan in your current legislation, the legislature? Do you see interest from both parties?
Obviously much more interest from the Democratic Party. There's a lot of Republican senators in particular who behind closed doors, they'll be perfectly forthright and tell you their position. They're not, it's not like they don't have any personal stake in marijuana policy, or they think, as a hunch for them, it probably should be legal. We had recently it was announced that New York State Assemblyman Steve Katz was has joined the ArcView Investor Group out of I guess San Francisco and he sees the economic benefit to New York of legalizing marijuana industry. Licensing sales, regulating sales. He went recently on a fact-finding trip to Colorado, so we have at least one Republican leader on the issue. Wow. In New York, their younger voters that are going to be their majority voters in the near future are increasingly tolerant, at least on this issue, and oftentimes outright supportive of significant libertarian leaning reforms, just because that's how they don't want the government getting involved in their affairs. And if we can rally that group around this issue, then we can.
Yeah, I see some of that happening.
Well, yeah, and if anything, this is the one issue that they will go get registered for to vote for. They
exactly.
go, oh, yeah, I'll do that, and
yeah.
from there, it's the gateway to voting.
Yeah. I have a public health question for you. From a public health perspective, what's your opinion as far as changing the law so that the marijuana decriminalization, taking all that threat away of a harmless plant, what do you think will happen as far as from a medical approach to improving society's health?
Well, what I think will happen is that I believe that there is a forbidden fruit effect that American teenagers, first of all, like the message that American teenagers are getting on a daily basis is that pot is readily available, and all I have to do is make a few phone calls, and that if they want it, they can have it. If not, don't do it. I don't think, especially since something like 80%+ of teenagers in the Monitoring the Future survey from last year, whatever the most recent data was, something like 82% of high school seniors reported that finding marijuana was very easy or something like that. Keeping marijuana out of the hands of patients does nothing to send any message to anyone, and allowing access to patients may send the message that when we realize we've had a poorly thought out, poorly designed policy, our elected officials are willing to acknowledge that and correct it in timely fashion. I think that should be the big message that we send to teenagers. Acknowledge your mistakes, fix them, and move on. That's where I come down on that.
Oh, thank you. It helps to be able to explain that to people.
Yeah, people need to have a better understanding.
I know it's like a bit of honesty and giving adolescents a bit of credit, you know, for not being total morons. I hate to, you know, I know it's not necessarily a popular opinion, but that, you know, they're people too, and you can talk to them, and they're going to be adults any day now.
And they'll vote if they find an issue that's important to them. And you know, this is important to them. But it should be read
away. Yeah, absolutely.
Adam, where can people get in touch with you if they want to volunteer locally or, you know, statewide or nationally? How do people get in touch with you? Give a shout out.
All right. So we've got the New York Cannabis Alliance Facebook page, facebook.com/NYCanAlliance with two N's. Our Twitter account, CanAlliance NY. Get a hold of me, adam@nycannabisalliance.org. Our website, taxmarijuanany.org. We're around. Our Facebook page has that messaging enabled, so I'll get any messages that come through there. info@nycannabisalliance.org. I don't know. I'm around. Get a hold of me anyway. I'm glad to talk with anybody about any of this.
Excellent. And what's the most important message you want to get out there just personally for yourself? What would you like to say?
We encourage everybody out there who's sort of committed, ideologically committed, but not necessarily taking action. Get involved, pick up your phone, make phone calls, reach out to the people that need to hear your message, especially the ones if you're in a state like New York where you have no referendum, you have no ballot initiative. Get on the phone with your elected officials, pester them, bother them. If you're in a state with referendums and initiative, you know, there's probably someone near you doing good work on this. Jump on board with them, see what you can do to help out, and it's all about showing up, following through, and making it happen. So get out there.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing just that.
Well, that's right. What you do.
You got to try. We really appreciate you coming on the show. We've been looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Adam.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Right. Take care. You too.
All right, thank you. That was Adam from the New York Cannabis Alliance, everybody.
Doing great work.
Incredible work. This guy is super intelligent and super involved, which is the message. You know, get educated and get yourself involved and know how to answer the questions, the hard questions that are coming at you like he did, you know, especially for the people who are skeptical.
Well, and I like his response. Just be honest with what's really going on, you know.
Yeah.
There are things that need to be corrected, but let's all work together.
Yeah. And Nurse Mary D was actually talking about Ruben Gallego. If you go to Culture Magazine, the latest issue, page 8, January edition,
awesome.
Democratic House Representative wants to legalize recreational cannabis. The number 2, Democratic House Representative Ruben Gallego wants his colleagues to legalize cannabis for recreational use. Gallego wants the issue debated through the legislative process, believing that lawmakers are better suited to coming up with a comprehensive plan than outsiders circulating petitions.
I don't know about that.
Everyone agrees that attitudes about cannabis are becoming more liberal in Arizona. That's true. Representative Eddie Farnsworth said he still opposes the idea and that even though cannabis has been approved by voters at the poll, it doesn't mean that those who contribute as lawmakers in the Capitol are forced to support the legalization. Gallego argues economics. Jailing people for possession is a tremendous cost, and those who have been jailed are ineligible for federal Pell Grants and federally backed student loans. And Gallego fears a plan by the Marijuana Policy Project that gets through on the 2016 ballot, and especially one that can't be altered, is a worse idea. Farnsworth still feels it's not reason enough for legislature to get out in front of the issue. Gallego's draft would allow those 21 and older to possess up to an ounce of cannabis and grow up to 5 plants. It would, of course, also be subject to the state's 5.6% tax.
There you go.
There you have it.
Political maneuvers begin.
Well, and they're already out there.
Or continue on.
Yeah, there are organizations, you know, like Safer Arizona, who have petitions right now. You can come down to Tumbleweed Health Center right now and signed a petition to legalize marijuana in 2014. Their petition grants those of voting age and older to be able to use cannabis for whatever they want to. Mm-hmm. So if that's something you believe in, come on
There's
down.
There's a big pushback now. It's the time to act, just like our friend in New York was talking about.
Yeah.
If you can do anything, now's the time to help.
Yeah, it is. It's a snowball avalanche right now. Jump on the avalanche. Here's something. A local doctor speaks out on patient pain. Recently, the Arizona Republic published a statement that Arizona's medical cannabis program is a fake, a sham, one of the biggest cons around. According to the Phoenix New Times, Arizona Republic accuses 73% of patients whose so-called fraudulent confessions admit to having severe and chronic pain. However, Dr. Gina McConney, a local emergency physician in Arizona, countered with a statement proving them wrong. One thing almost every one of my patients has in common is that they are in pain. Yeah. Pain is the warning signal that our bodies let us know that something is wrong, she stated. She also said, continued to describe how pain, whether caused from old injuries or migraines, mild or severe, can be experienced in many forms. She also notes that there's no way 100 million people are diagnosed with chronic pain just to abuse the medical cannabis system.
Exactly. They're hurting. Why?
Yeah. Pain is pain, people. You know, come on.
Do not discount pain.
Yeah. Don't discount it. Pain isn't something that you can always just see.
It's your body talking to you.
Especially back pain and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, structural problems. You can't always tell that someone's in pain. You know, they may be in
pain.
They
look perfectly great, but they may be really hurting on you.
Yeah. Yeah, unreal. Here's something in world news. New law prohibits coffee shops in Amsterdam to open near schools.
Yeah.
There are about 200 coffee shops in Amsterdam where the use of cannabis and hash are allowed, but a new law has passed and the city is going to soon decrease that number to 160. Amsterdam is particularly concerned with there being too many coffee shops near schools. We're not forcing them to close all at once. We're giving the owners opportunities to start different businesses elsewhere, the city officials said.
Safer for kids.
Yeah. Starting January 2014, coffee shops near schools have to adjust their operating hours to only weekends or nighttime hours to prevent any soft drug use around or near school children. By July, the city will close 10 more shops, and by 2015, the remaining shops within a 500-foot walking distance from a school will have to close as well. All this is the city's effort to protect school children from soft drug use as to prevent an overload of visitors and nuisance at the shops that will be allowed to stay open.
Most of the pushback I've been hearing is about adolescent usage.
Mm-hmm.
And, that seems to be the only negative I'm hearing from most folks out there right now, the fear of their children being able to get a hold of it.
Yeah. And, sure, that's an honest fear, just like it's a fear with any other mind-altering substance, even caffeine, alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then, the pills that are sitting in their cabinets at home, their medicine cabinets, Vicodin and Dilaudid.
The broader picture than just marijuana.
And, they really need to, and maybe they are doing this, five guys sitting on the couch in Montana, maybe they are doing this, but somebody needs to. We're going to do this. We need to get education in the school system. When we were growing up, when I was growing up back in the early 70s, you got a permission slip sent home to your mom and dad. They had to sign it. We're going to talk about your bodies, and we're going to talk about everything, what affects it, blah, 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 from sex to medicine to alcohol to whatever, drugs. We're going to talk about it, write it back. Marijuana needs to be written into all of that. It's something... It's something that our society has used for thousands of years.
Alcohol and prescription drugs.
And wherever you have the need to feel better, But cannabis should be written in these books so that, from the get-go, kids are well-informed with correct information. But that's going to be the hard thing, getting that information out.
Get kids back from school?
So we were talking about the gold rush earlier. In a new analysis on the marijuana marketplace, San Francisco-based angel investor network ArcView Group forecasts a 64% surge in the legal U.S. cannabis market to $2.34 billion by this year. The five-year national market could grow to $10 billion amid rising demand and potentially new state markets, according to our Q forecast. Reporters of legalized marijuana are pushing for ballot measures in Alaska and California. There's been a remarkable evolution in the cannabis industry, said Steve Berg, editor of ArcView Market Research. ArcView offers startup funds to cannabis businesses, while certain people do still smoke joints, many other formats are used, are consulting an increasing portion of the market. There's a huge, if you think of anything in any business, you can go from, clothing to the actual product itself to everything.
It's such a complicated world.
It is.
Simplifying it helps people.
Yeah, it really, really does. New marijuana ingestion methods beyond smoking are helping to drive cannabis growth. Marijuana concentrates are the fastest growing category of products. Oil extract from raw cannabis can also can offer exact dosing for medicinal purposes, which is important, including the treatment of chronic pain. Non-smoking technologies, including vaporization, edibles, and capsules are arising. That's true.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Happening out there.
Yeah, because people do smoke their joints, but it's the joints. So
that's the last thing.
There's healthier ways to have
your medication, folks.
super old school. In the midst of this social experiment to abolish cannabis prohibition, entrepreneurs are jumping into a Wild West-like landscape of marijuana market opportunities. They're hoping for a first mover advantage. This new gold rush sometimes is referred to as the green rush, led by ganjapreneurs. Beyond actual pot production and sales, more ancillary businesses are emerging, including security, insurance, e-commerce companies that support the legalization of marijuana. Yeah, jobs. It's really incredible and amazing what this plant, can offer up as an opportunity.
Exactly.
For everybody out there. It's not just for the people that want to use it, but for
even
they're talking
just
about the
look at the country.
Businesses. Yeah.
Tax it and give the U.S. the money back. Well, low tax.
And what's the book we usually read every week?
Oh,
hemp.
Let us grow it.
Yeah. Well, they're getting back to the roots.
We like statistics.
Yeah, and the food they're talking about pot pairing menus emerging.
Mm-hmm.
Some food focused entrepreneurs are betting that adult recreational marijuana becomes an alternative to wine consumption.
Oh, definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely.
And pretty soon the world over, but pretty soon this country over, they're going to have our little coffee shops here like they do in Amsterdam. It'll be a while, but I can just 3-5 years.
You're not going to believe this. I was talking to a friend about Super Bowl Sunday coming up, and she goes, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, probably get around the TV and have a party." And she goes, "Oh, a bunch of alcohol." I said, "Oh, no, probably a pop party."
That was a good time last year. Wow,
all those cars. I said, "Yeah, that was a pop party."
Medicated garlic bread. That was incredible. That garlic bread was
awesome. Oh, that was fun.
Oh my goodness, that was great. Let's see. Events.
What's coming up?
This is mid-January. Next month is the Peace Fair. We're going to be at the Peace Fair.
Oh, but
alongside
the Gem Show is coming up.
The Gem Show's coming up.
Very soon.
Very soon. There's a Gem and Jam event that's coming up that AZ for Normal will be at. You can check them out at a bunch of places. But Tumbleweeds Health Center is jumping back in the scene now that Medication Hours are suspended.
We
have the weekends to play and get back out there and educate people. We're going to medicate everyone.
Peace Fair in February.
Yes. And speaking of medication, we still do have some medicine here in the form of Dixie Elixirs, which are wonderful.
Oh.
The tinctures have been flying off the shelf. Yay, they came in. Instead of if you have a headache, you don't go grab the ibuprofen or Tylenol anymore. Grab a tincture of Dixie Elixirs, 15
CBD.
Drops. Yeah, high CBD, 40% to 60%+ CBD. Just drop it on your tongue, wait a little bit. And
no psychoactive stuff going on.
No psychoactive effects. It doesn't hurt your liver, doesn't hurt your kidneys, doesn't hurt your stomach. In fact, it does the opposite. It helps everything. So come on down and check those out. They're wonderful. We're back to regular hours. If you need some processing, if your paperwork done, come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. There's a huge...
Nice place.
Yeah, great new place. Giant marijuana sign out front, back out there again. People keep stealing it. Shame on you. Not nice. I know you like the giant pot leaf, but make your own.
It might be valuable someday.
Don't encourage them, Mary D. Don't encourage that.
Well,
leave our signs up. No, leave our signs up. It costs money and time to put them back up.
I know.
Look for the big signs. So check for tumbleweeds at the Peace Fair for sure. That is February 22nd, and we are hoping to get in at the Folk Festival and at the 4th Avenue Street Fair, too. So you can check all those places. We have our winter special is just continuing. It's still cold to me, so we're still having winter specials. $85 for your new patients. $65 research. Woo!
Get little break after Christmas.
Well, a little break after doing this for 3 years, you know. Yeah. The state's not giving anybody a break. Hello. They're keeping the money. So, you know.
Thank you, Tumbleweed.
Yeah, we're trying to give people a break. $35 for processing. Otherwise, take it home and do it yourself. We would like to give some shout-outs to the Growers House. If you haven't checked their new place out at 1501 East 21st Street, they're awesome. It's gargantuan. It's huge. They've got everything you need for growing and hydroponic equipment. They've got they offer free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, and a price match guarantee. So you should check them out. They're really, really great. Accurate Med Testing is going to have some med results for me later. I'm very, very excited.
Wow.
Yeah, that's nice. Mary Jane Survival Guide. We'll be back in their next issue as well. Check them out. Mary's Patient Guide. Yeah, great patient guide. Check out azmarijuana.com. You can find some awesome news on that site. In fact, we're on there. And you can check out videos there, news. They've got product reviews. They do a weekly product review. They've got giveaways and all sorts of great stuff. So check them out. They're very, very, very informational, very educational site, azmarijuana.com. In fact, some of their news articles we've put up at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, and you can check them out there as well. We just like to get involved with other organizations that are spreading education. Those like Culture Magazine, they're free. Come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center and pick up your free Culture Magazine. Mm-hmm. You can get them free every month, and they've got everything from the articles we read about Ruben Gallego to percentages of what's happening across the nation. 82% of Floridians want to legalize cannabis.
82%.
Come on, Florida.
That is done.
Yeah, that's pretty much done. That's a no-brainer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. So check it out. What a great show. I love this radio show. I love marijuana.
So informational.
It's such a great thing.
And like that guy said, who better than someone who lives across from the state capital?
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine just running across the street to
public
throw out your ideas every day?
Who knows how benign this cannabis plant really is and can really fight for us?
Oh, my goodness. Oh. What a plant. It's going to do everything from... you know, financially to physically to spiritually help our entire planet. We love it. Well, thank you, Adam, from New York Cannabis Alliance for doing all that you're doing, for taking your morning out to join us and to spread the can of love around. You're awesome. Thank you. And it's not an easy thing to do, but we appreciate it more than you know.
Yeah.
We are going to leave our show with my favorite pop song, but stay tuned next week.
These guys are going to be on Grammy.
Oh, Macklemore and Ryan. Ah, the inspired, the inspired
is that
one.
The song you're talking about?
This is Pot Shop.
Oh yeah.
Steve Burke's version.
That's right. A takeoff.
Yes. A takeoff. So check out tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. You can listen to all our crazy past radio shows. If you didn't listen to the New Year show, check it out. It's hysterical. If you have an hour to
laugh.
If you want some infectious laughs, just listen to that. But remember, always be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Puff, 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 puff,
Like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Seville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
What you know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy, Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers. And bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimped shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to hold those gloves. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed, these special interests.